This afternoon, I want to talk to you about how it is our responsibility and our task to protect and promote the unity of our church and our family. See, God wants us to be a united front, and that unity is actually talked about many times in the New Testament. And God is just like this loving parent who watches over his children, and he understands that we're all different, but he wants us to get along because unity is the core and the essence of who we are as fellow disciples of Christ. And when you destroy it, when we destroy it, it's similar to ripping out the heart of Christ's body. And in fact, the best example of unity is none other than our loving God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're always united. And God loves us so much that he sent us his Son in sacrifice. And so today, it's a reminder to all of us, whether you're a student, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're single, or whether you're married, in church, in your family place, in your workplace, in your school, it is all of our responsibility to promote unity and not cause division. Because you see, there's nothing more valuable to God than his church. When I mention the word church, I'm not talking about the church building. I'm talking about its members. We make up the church. And as I said, God paid a high price for that by sending his Son. And when his Son was here on earth, he established his church. And he said, no, nothing will prevail against it as long as we are in faith and continuing the mission. And so what it means is, as fellow members and as one family in God's church, we have to do the best that we can to protect unity, to promote harmony, so that we can worship as one people. But we know up and down the century that even up until today, that the enemy has always had one goal, and that is to sow jealousy, rivalry, dissension, and division. And if you think for a moment that this only happens during the time of Jesus in the gospel reading or during the time of Moses, well, think again, because I've been around the block for a while now, and this happens in church, this happens in seminaries, this happens in workplaces, this happens in families where there are divisions. Let's look at the first reading from the book of Numbers. So it says that God takes some of his spirit, right, and he bestows it upon 70 elders to help Moses govern the people, right? And then once the Spirit was bestowed upon them, it says that the 70 elders were seized by the Spirit, where they began to preach and where they began to proclaim the message of God. But then it also tells us that two characters identified as Eldad and Medad were not in the tent. They were not part of the meeting, but they're also Jewish people, and they started preaching because the Spirit came down upon them. Now, there was a young man who got jealous because they were not part of the in crowd. So this young man went to Joshua, and he said, Joshua, this is not right. We're the in crowd. We were in the tent. These two guys should not be allowed to preach and to basically prophesy. Joshua sided with the young man and also got offended. So Joshua went to Moses, and he basically told Moses, tell them to stop. They're not part of our group. We are the ones that have been appointed by God. So Joshua and the young man allowed jealousy to divide them. And in fact, if you go back to the Bible, it said that this jealousy threatened to divide that community. But Moses was a wise man, just like a wise father. He wasn't going to play their little petty games of jealousy. Moses looks Joshua in the eye and he says, are you jealous for my sake? And then he goes on to say, wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be better that everyone in our camp or in this land were prophets? So Moses had the right attitude. Moses, even though he didn't know Eldad and Medad personally, he knew that they were working on behalf of God, that they were continuing the mission of Israel. And he didn't allow the petty jealousy to be more important than the mission of God. And this is what's amazing this Sunday, all throughout our Universal Catholic Church. The church then juxtaposes this example with a gospel reading. And let me kind of give you an explanation of what's going on. In the gospel, Jesus had been going around from town to town, driving out demons, helping the people establish a relationship with him. Now, John, one of the disciples, saw a man driving out demons in the name of Christ, which makes him a Christian. John was jealous, and so he tells Jesus, "Who is this clown? He's not part of our team. We are the apostles. We have been appointed by you." Just like Moses, Jesus tells John, look, in modern-day language, like, you need to chill out, right? Don't be a hater. Don't be so jealous. If this guy is casting out demons on behalf of me, he cannot be against me. If he's not against me, that means he is for me. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't as though once Jesus said this, John was converted and said, oh, I get it. But once again, sometimes we get so caught up in the fight, right, in this division, that we forget that the most important thing is the mission, is to sow unity, is to sow harmony. And I found in my own life that conflict arises when we take the mission and then we allow the little things like personalities, disagreements to get the better of us. And that's when jealousy and rivalry arises. But when we understand the big picture, that we as Christian Catholics are here to help others get closer to God, then harmony arises. It's been that long-awaited visit from Pope Francis, and it finally took place. I imagine many, if not all of you, has gotten to hear or read the transcript and his address to the Congress. And even in his attempt to talk about the wars and the atrocities and the divisions, Pope Francis, in his own words, talked about the importance of the members of Congress and all of the people in the United States of America. It requires our cooperation to bring about the harmony and the good of all the people, especially the poor and those that are downtrodden. And so if you're sitting here, you're thinking, well, how does that apply to me? Maybe you're a young student, or I remember I'll share with you what happened to me at my workplace. One of the ways that you can promote the unity of family and church is to avoid gossip. Before I entered the seminary, I remember a coworker that would always come to me and she would be like, Francis, come here, I got something to tell you. And first I would say, what is it about? Oh, it's about this other coworker. And before she could even speak, I would say, you know what? Unless your goal is to help this person be built up, I don't want to hear it. And she was like, oh, you're no fun. Forget you. A couple of weeks later, he goes, Francis, I have another scoop for you. The same thing, right? She did this for a couple of months. And I'm like, is your goal to better this person? She's like, well, no, that's not fun. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it. And eventually, she got the message. She didn't go to me because she knew, well, this one is not going to spread it. This is my point. If you want to promote unity in your family, in your workplace, in the church, then don't listen to gossip. If people gossip to you, that means they're also going to gossip about you. Don't have any doubts about that. And God talks about people that gossip are the troublemakers, and they are the ones that sow seeds of jealousy, division, and disharmony in a group. The other thing that I've learned is to promote unity is don't be quick to criticize and judge. I remember two churches ago, I was at this church, and an acquaintance came to visit me. And after the Mass, the man spoke with me, and he said, oh, Father Francis, that was a great homily, but I have a couple of suggestions for you that will make your church a better place. And I'm thinking, really? You just got here? And I'm like, okay, sure. Your cantor needs to change, your altar needs to be bigger, and your decanter has to be made of metal. And I'm thinking, dude, you just got here. Like, when we criticize, we're basically, especially when there's no basis for it, and we don't even know the person, it's basically breaking the body of Christ. And then when we judge, then we place ourselves in a position for God to judge us as well. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you're a married person or even with your brother or sister where the conversation or the confrontation gets so heated up and you're already starting to yell And then you even forget about the point of the conversation, right? A lot of people get so emotional, like, oh, but you said this, and you said that. And then we're barking at each other like, whoa, 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 right? And this and that. And it's like, what are we even talking about? I mean, this is what I do to promote unity. I remember I went on vacation with my priest friend, and then we got into a discussion, and it got heated, and I was like, wait, let's calm down. First of all, if we're yelling at each other, it's not building the body of Christ, and God does not want that for us. Let's get back on track. If I said something that hurt you, I apologize, and if you said something that hurt me, I accept your apology, and that's really what we ought to do. And this applies to all of us as well, especially those in leadership. And this is the message for this Sunday. It's very easy for us who are already involved in church to become territorial, to say, you know what? This is my turf. I don't care if you have gifts or talents. I am not letting you take this because, hey, this is mine. And that's dangerous. That's what Jesus preached against, and that's what Moses preached against. I remember a few years ago, a young lady came to me, right? And she was full of enthusiasm because she just got baptized into the Catholic Church. And she was really gifted. She was gifted in being a lector, and she was gifted in being a cantor. But then when she came to volunteer, she was very turned off because she said the people that were in charge basically shied her away. And she really had talent. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to preach like if somebody wants to sing here, even if you don't know how to sing, I'm not going to say, oh, you know what? You can sing. It's not about that. But some people have really good talents. But this young lady, it was because of jealousy that the person in charge would not allow her to lecture for Easter or would not allow her to cantor because she was seen as a threat. So I'll leave you with this message. As one body in the mystical body of Christ, my question for you is this. What are we doing on our own to promote unity in our family, in our church, in our workplace, and in our school? Remember, there's a lot of people that have left the Catholic Church. We refer to them as disconnected Catholics. And these are good people. They're not bad people. And our task is to invite them back. And if these people see that we really love each other and we care for each other, you know what? These people will come here, and we will have to lock our doors to keep them out. Because when people see that we truly care for each other, that we're really building each other, people see that. And so my prayer is, may you be like Moses. When somebody comes forward with a gift or talent, may you say like Moses, wouldn't it be amazing if everyone was a prophet? May you be like Jesus as well, to say, you know what? I've got my role, and you've got your role. If you're not speaking against me, I'm going to assume that you must be for me. See, Moses and Jesus understood that the petty jealousy and all this rivalry was not the point of the mission. The mission was to help others establish a relationship with him. Once you forget about the privilege, once you forget about the honor, once you forget about the prestige, then that means that you have allowed the mission to be the most important thing in your life. And once you're in that place, as we march together to the heavenly Jerusalem as pilgrim people, that's when we truly become the holy, healthy, and vibrant people that God created us to be. Amen?